Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Levasseur.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
And we're going to talk about something today where it is in the news, unfortunately. But as parents, I think it's something we can all, I guess, remind ourselves, even though I don't think this is much of a reminder needed situation. I think it's kind of common sense. Some of you may have heard about this. Some of you may have not. So let's give you a little bit of rundown. We're actually going to talk about two different cases because these aren't isolated incidents, unfortunately. So the first one we're going to talk about is Christopher Schultes. And Christopher Schultes is out of Arizona. He's 37 years old. And according to these reports, from what we're hearing, he's already been arrested for this. So we'll see how it goes. He hasn't been sentenced to anything. But on July 9th, he left his two-year-old daughter in the car outside his residence while he went inside to play video games. Now, according to what I was seeing in the body cam footage, he went outside. This was in Marana, Arizona, by the way. I don't know if I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I apologize. But according, you can go watch the body cam footage. We may play a little bit of it tonight, but it's about, and it's long. It's about 45 minutes. But essentially he says, you know, she was sleeping. She was calm. I didn't want to wake her up in the middle of a sleep. So I went inside. I was playing video games. I was checking on her multiple times. And the last time I went out there, the car was running. Well, what must have happened is the car was on one of those automatic shutoffs after being idle for 20 to 30 minutes. I think that's a law now that all cars have to have that for environmental reasons. So they turn off unless you tap the brake pedal or the gas pedal. And clearly he did not do that. So right after checking on her, and that's still up for debate if he actually checked on her, the car shuts off.
Because you're in Arizona, right? And it's like the hottest day of the summer, by the way. 109 degrees. And the car was parked in full sunlight. 109 degrees plus cars parked in full sunlight.
Yeah, and the body cam footage. We will play a little bit tonight, but you probably got to go watch the whole thing because there are people that believe he did this intentionally, that this was something that he was trying to do and make it look like an accident. In fact, on July 12th, he was charged with second-degree murder and child abuse charges by the Marana Police Department. And there's body cam footage for that moment as well, which we definitely have to play that. It's only about a minute or two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I definitely want to get your reaction, Stephanie, because it's something where some people are suspicious about it because during this
I'm suspicious about it.
And you haven't even seen the video yet. But it's interesting because his behavior is one way when he's finding out that his daughter is dead. And then when he finds out that he's being arrested, his reaction is completely different. So do you want to play the short little clip that we have to start? Because there's also some text messages during the day that his daughter died that are interesting. And then we can talk about it, and then maybe we can play some body cam footage. What do you think?
I want to say something first.
Oh, okay. The floor is yours.
He claims he was checking on her, right?
Yeah.
And the last
periodically.
Time, periodically, whatever the hell that means. And the last time he checked on her, this reminds me of Madeline McCann's parents, by the way. We were checking on them. The last time he checked on her, the car was still running. Well, according to the criminal complaint against him, this dude knew, obviously, that he left his daughter in the car, but he also knew that the car and the air conditioning would automatically shut off after 30 minutes. So how often were you checking on her? If you knew that the AC was going to shut off after 30 minutes, if you knew it was 109 degrees outside, even if you didn't know the exact temperature, you knew it was hot, your ass was inside playing video games in the air conditioning, and you left your child in the car, which, first of all, it's never a good idea to leave a child in a running car, because anybody walking by could be like, oh, a running car and a baby inside? Jackpot. Get in, drive off, you dumbass. So do I think it was intentional? Like, I want to kill my child? I don't know. But what I do think, it was definitely negligent, where it was kind of to the point of where I want to do what I want to do, which is play video games. This dude's unemployed. He doesn't have a criminal history, but he's not employed. They have two other children besides this baby, who apparently all three of these children have been left regularly alone in the car. So there's a two-year-old, I believe there's a five-year-old, and maybe a three-year-old. I'd have to double check the ages. But apparently he's left all of his children in the car alone multiple times. This is not the first time he's done this, as we're going to see from the text messages between Christopher and his wife. Yeah. So, yeah, we can play this clip that you want to play, and then we can discuss it. Oh, the other two children are 9 and 5.
Yeah.
And detective spoke with them, and they said that their father had left all three children alone in the vehicle regularly.
Yeah, and just to add even another layer based on what you're saying, here's a quick timeline before we play the video. He tells police that he arrived home around 2:30 p.m. However, there's camera footage that shows him arriving around 12:53 p.m.
Ouch.
And from what the police are alleging, that he knew that his daughter was in the car, and he knew that the car would shut off after 30 minutes.
That's what the complaint says.
That's one of the issues. And then there's camera footage that shows his wife arriving home at 4:08 p.m. And basically she goes inside. She goes, where's our daughter?
Where's our two-year-old?
Yeah, he's looking around. Then he realizes she's inside. And the call was made.
She's in the car. He realizes the baby's in the car. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The call was made at 4:16 p.m. to 911. So we're talking about a possibility where she was in the car for over 3 hours.
Exactly. On a 109-degree day in direct sunlight.
Yeah, bad. So let's play the video, then we can talk about it further.
Christopher Schultz is facing second-degree murder and child abuse after allegedly leaving his two-year-old daughter in a hot car for nearly 2 hours. His children tell police this is something that happened regularly. Court documents reveal a text conversation between Schultz and his wife the night the child died. His wife said, "I told you to stop leaving them in the car. How many times have I told you?" And Schultz responded, "How could I do this? I killed our baby. This can't be real." Police say it was 109 degrees at the time of the 911 call. The car was parked in direct sunlight.
"I can't overemphasize that you shouldn't do that."
Emergency doctor Frank Lavecchio says many things can go wrong when a child is in a car by themselves, even if the air conditioning is left on.
"If you leave your car in a sunny spot, it rises by 1 degree Celsius for the first 30 minutes. So the temperature goes really, really high inside the car."
10 kids have died nationwide in hot cars so far in 2024. This is the first one in Arizona, according to the National Safety Council.
"There's never a time that I can think of is a good time to leave a dog or a child in a car."
The Good Samaritan law in Arizona allows people to break a window if a child or animal is at risk in a car. Deborah Nolan, the law's author, says that person must first call 911 and make sure there is no other reasonable manner in which the child or animal can be removed.
"If you see something, say something. But in our case, if you see something, after you've said something, do something. Because you need to get that child or dog out of the backseat of that car."
All right, so we're back. And real quick, I said Schultz, and they're saying Schultz. So I'm assuming Schultz is right. We're going to go with Schultz. So I stand corrected.
So did you hear what that one guy was saying where it's like, oh, even if the air conditioning's on, when your car's in direct sunlight, it's raising a degree every, what did he say, minute?
Every minute.
Of course, because your car's parked in direct sunlight. This guy, Christopher, cooked his child in their car while he played PlayStation in the house. And then did you see in the article, it also says he arrived home around the time his other two children arrived home. So he's got the other kids in the house with him, too. So it's not like you're completely alone and you just don't even think you have kids right now. Your other two kids are there. Your baby's in the car. You said she was sleeping. But how long is she going to sleep? She's 2 years old. So if you got there right before one and your wife doesn't get home until four, that is 3 hours. You think your baby is sleeping for 3 hours in the car? And you didn't check on her at all, because if you had, you would have seen after 30 minutes, the car was off and the AC was no longer on. Or, because he knew that already, did he just not care? I would also like to talk a little bit about these text messages, right? Because when he's texting his wife, she's saying to him, "I told you to stop leaving them in the car." And he's like, oh my God, he seems very regretful, right? Like you were saying, he seems very regretful. And he's like, "I can't believe I did this. I killed our child." Wait, where's the one text message? His wife texted, "We've lost her. She was perfect." And then Christopher responds to his wife, quote, "Babe, our family, how could I do this? I killed our baby. This can't be real," end quote. He seems super regretful. He seems almost like, oh, my God, how did this happen? Like it was a forgetful thing. But as you said, and as we're going to see in the body cam footage, there is a completely different reaction when he understands that he's being held accountable for what he did, that you can't just leave your child in the car for 3 hours on a 109-degree day, pretend you forgot she was in there, and then get away scot-free and be allowed to continue playing your PlayStation games with your buddies.
I don't know if he intended to do it, even though the video, we're going to play it for you. You guys can judge for yourselves. But he does have a different reaction to being arrested as opposed to when he finds out that his daughter's dead. I'm not making excuses for the guy. I think he's an idiot. But there could be a shock factor playing in there as well, where he's seeing this play out, but he's having this out-of-body experience where it's happening in front of him, but he's almost in disbelief.
Yes, he seems very regretful.
But he's sitting there, and I think he's still, like, law enforcement, he's also very defensive because he can tell that law enforcement's not letting him leave. They're not letting him go to the hospital. His wife's already on the way to the hospital with their daughter. And then there's a different reaction when he's arrested. So we're going to play right now. It's a long clip, but we're going to play right now a clip from the body cam footage of the officers when they arrived at the house after everything transpired. And at this point, his wife and his daughter are already on their way or at the hospital. The text messages are going back and forth. And this is law enforcement in the house with Christopher, just kind of standing by with him because they realize what they have here. And rightfully so, they don't know if it's an accident and they're treating it as an active investigation. And in a way, they're kind of treating him as a suspect, which I think is the right move here because they don't know whether this was accidental or intentional at this point, and they're not going to allow him to leave and maybe destroy any potential evidence that could incriminate him. So they're trying to be respectful here because he just lost his daughter, but they're also trying to do their job. So you're going to see that dynamic, and Christopher picks up on it. So we're going to play a little bit of it here, not the whole thing.
Did it kind of remind you of the Chris Watts body footage where he picks up that the cops are like, when they're in there and he's like, oh, her ring, remember? And he got all weird about it. And he kind of was like, oh, I'm being suspected here. And that's when he kind of started acting like awkward and stressed out and nervous.
A little bit. I don't know. I wouldn't put this guy in the Chris Watts category, but.
No, I wouldn't either. But
we'll play it. You guys be the judge.
Do you have a wallet on you?
A wallet?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. All right, click on it. You can stay in here. Watch out. What's your first name?
Chris.
Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Christopher?
Yes.
Okay. CH?
Yes.
Lesson?
Please, baby.
Okay, so right here, and you can't see anything. It's partially, I think, why it's blurred out. I don't know if it's a camera defect. They could be doing it intentionally to protect privacy of the first responders that are there. What you can see there is the EMTs are working on his daughter right now. They just brought her inside. It's cooler inside. And I wanted to show this little bit of this clip because you can see his reaction while they're doing this. It's a little blurry, like I said, but judge it for yourself. Now we're going to fast forward ahead to the daughter being taken, you know, transported from the house, and now law enforcement is remaining behind with Christopher while his wife is going with their daughter.
She's dead. Like, I need to be with her.
Oh, my God, my nose. No.
Yeah,
no. She's dead.
Sir,
we're not in. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! No!
going to university.
Yeah, they're going to Banner right now. We're going to keep you updated with everything, okay? We just need to stand by with you right now, all right? Is that your wife out there?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to make sure she gets down there, okay? All right. We have officers escorting her down there. If we need to, we will drive her down there, and we'll make the same accommodations for you, all right? We'll keep you updated with everything that happened.
She wants me to try and get her ride to the hospital.
Hey, we'll accommodate that for you, all right? We're just going to need to get a statement from you about what happened, what's been going on. Obviously, I know this isn't easy for you, okay? It's not easy for anyone around right now. We're going to keep you updated with everything we hear. Do you want to sit down somewhere? Where would you be most comfortable?
Sure.
You want me to refill this for you? Can I sit? Is that all right?
It's fine.
And what happened today?
We went to go back around, and we stopped to get food. We didn't stop to get food. We just came home. My daughters were at Elevate with my friend next door. They got home about 2:45 or so. And then we've just been hanging out at home. She was sleeping in the car, and I had the car on. But it has a sensor where every 30 minutes or so it'll turn off if Evan moved. I swore she was in the house playing with her sisters like she always does. Just been right now. I haven't been doing anything else really on the house. And
what time?
Well, we never do this anywhere, but I'm home, right? Like you're home, you're safe, you're like your kids are home.
I'm sorry this is all going on.
We always park that car in the garage usually, but I just got a Peloton recently, and the Peloton is in the garage now, so that's why it's not even in the garage. But
and how long was she sleeping in the car out there?
I want to say it was no more than 30, 45 minutes. And I don't think their air was off that entire time. I think there was a time in between. I had checked on her last. It was still running. She was still sleeping. And then when I went back out, the car was off.
We weren't able to change anything for her. She wasn't breathing on her own. We didn't have a pulse. So we continued the CPR and in order to try to regain that. I don't know what that's going to look like from this point. Okay. As you know, she's very hot right now, and we're going to do everything we can to mitigate that. So with that said, I have some folks who are coming by. They're with the fire department, and they're going to help you walk through some of the things. Now, I understand that your wife went with her, correct? Okay. So, and we have some other folks that are going to be put over there as well. Okay, so along with law enforcement and our community assistance people, they'll walk through some of the things, get you ready to go down to the hospital, okay?
Do you have...
I'm very sorry for this. This is not something we ever planned for. Chris, do you have any questions for me?
Oh my God.
Okay, so one of the most, I think, impactful parts of the clip we just watched was when his wife is leaving, going to the hospital to be with their baby, their 2-year-old. And she basically looks at him and she's like, our child is dead and I need to be with her. And then he starts, getting all high pitched, crying. And now he's left there with the police. They start to sort of question him about the events of the day. He says that his other 2 children were next door with the neighbor. It sounds like it's some sort of daycare thing. They got home. He's going through it. And then he says that he gets a call or a text from his wife and she would like him to come to the hospital. And that's where the tone changes, because the police basically tell him, that's not going to happen. You're not leaving.
Just to let you know, I don't want to feel like we're intruding, but we're going to have to stand by with you for a while. All right.
Is there a reason why?
So any death, we have to treat like a crime scene. I know this is extremely difficult for you. This is a normal process that we have to follow through with. I don't want you to be blindsided by anything, but that's what's going to be going on for right now, okay?
So I'm being treated like a murderer?
No.
Not
at all. I know that. And I know this isn't easy for you. That's why I'm trying to be straightforward and honest with you, okay? I don't want to keep any secrets. I don't want to hide anything for you. Someone's going to talk to you about what happened, though. All right? We will keep you updated with everything.
My whole family's going to be ruined.
We'll be all right. So we can't let you do that right now. We have to stand by with you. Okay? As soon as you can, we will let you know.
You can stay in the room if you want, but I'm going to talk.
I know this isn't easy for you, but the quicker we get this done and finish up, the sooner you can be with your wife. All right?
I'm trying to rinse off so I can go to the hospital to be with my wife.
We're not going to shower or anything right now. You need to stand by with us.
I don't understand why.
Okay? Please.
I don't understand why.
I tried explaining that to you. We just need to stand by with you.
I'm standing by. Why can't I take a shower while you stand by? What is...
It's not necessary right now. Okay. I'm not going to stand here and watch you shower. There will be time for that, but it's not right now, okay?
So that's the exchange. You can see the evolution there, right? They're working on his daughter. They're seeing if there's any sign of life. They get her stabilized, or they realize they have to get her to the hospital. Mom leaves with daughter. Dad stays behind. And they're getting a statement from him. And then he starts with this, I want to rinse off before going to the hospital. And the cops are like, yeah, we're not going to sit here and watch you take a shower. Now, if you read the comments and you start to see the stuff online, people are saying, and I get where they're coming from. That's what you're concerned about right now, like taking a shower, like rinsing off before going to the hospital. It seemed like to some people, he was trying to remove himself from the police's eyes for a couple minutes, basically trying to deflect or diffuse the situation. And so some people took issue with it, and who am I to disagree with them? But what compounded those thoughts about his behavior in this moment was the arrest video. Because yes, he's distraught. Yes, he's upset. And I said it could be just shock. But what happens when he's arrested is completely different from what happened when he found out that his daughter was dead.
I think even just initially after the wife leaves and they kind of say to him, like, you're not leaving, before he's been arrested, he changes. Like, you can tell he's not this like, and all of a sudden he's like, wait, am I a suspect? Like,
yeah.
My daughter's dead and this is how you're treating me? Like, he gets very Karen-y, you know, like the audacity of you to treat me this way. I don't think I would react. Now, nobody can say how they would react in this situation, right? But I don't think I would react in this situation. I would be so distraught. I would just be sitting there, like, dissociated, and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I'm here. You know, like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, whatever you need.
I'm going to be on the floor in a ball.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to be like, you know, clutching my pearls. Like, I'm a suspect. I left her in the car. She died. And you're like, suspecting me? Like, I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be outraged. That's not important to me right now, because what's important to me right now is the fact that my child is no longer alive, and they can do whatever they got to do. I'm going to be a zombie right here while you do whatever you got
to
do.
So here's the video, and you guys can compare to the previous video we just showed you and come to your own conclusions.
So remember how we talked about the investigation and things that would transpire?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I told you I'm always going to tell you guys the truth. There's no secrets here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So based off of our investigation at this point, right, we have determined that there's probable cause to go ahead and charge you for what happened.
Okay. Let's come out here, Christopher.
No. Listen.
No.
Listen.
No.
This doesn't change.
You haven't heard this.
This doesn't change what's going on, okay? What happens at this point, it's simple, okay? What happens at this point is you are going to be taken into custody, all right? And you will be booked, And then after you are booked, you have an initial appearance with the judge within the first 24 hours. Okay. After the first 24 hours, right, the judge will determine bond and things like that as far as what happens next. At that point, the case goes to the courts. It'll be between you, it'll be between your attorneys, and it'll be between the county prosecutor.
So there it is. His reaction to finding out he's being charged with the murder of his daughter. It's pretty different. It's pretty different from when he found out she was dead. Now, I know I want to talk quickly about this case, and I know you want to bring up another case, because if you look at the title of this video, it's not strictly about Christopher Schultz. It's about a bigger issue. But to wrap this up, for me, my final words on this one, because I'm sure all of you have strong opinions right now on it. I hope this isn't a hot take, but if it is, it is. I don't think he intentionally killed his daughter. I know there are people speculating about it. I know that the behaviors do not align. For me, I think it's a matter of he's in complete shock and he's having this experience where he's, you can see at moments he's looking off. Like, I think he's just like, I can't believe this is happening. He even says, my whole family's ruined. That's it. I think this guy's a moron. I think he's seeing his whole life end in that moment while those cops are there thinking this is a nightmare. Please, will I wake up? And I think the second video, he's had time to process it. And it's not only that he's being arrested. It's that these officers are saying, you killed your daughter. They're not saying, hey, you made a mistake. This was negligent. They're charging him with murder. They're saying you intentionally killed your daughter. Maybe not planned it, but this was something that you thought out. You killed her. That's, I could see how that reaction could come from that. I want to hear from you guys. I know Stephanie's going to give her opinion. I don't know what she feels about it, but that's where I stand on at least this case in particular. I still think he's a moron. This is a bigger issue, but that's how I feel about him specifically.
So a second degree murder, it usually means like you did
no
not
intent. Premeditation, yes.
No premeditation, but malicious
but intent.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
I don't know at this point, and we don't know what the police found. We don't know what they witnessed to make them to, or, you know, the district attorney, whoever brought these charges. What do they know that we don't know for them to bring second degree?
They're arguing that he's done it multiple times. They're arguing that this was an ongoing thing.
Do I think that there was malicious intent? I guess it depends what you think malicious intent is. Do I think that he left his baby in the car because she was sleeping peacefully and he didn't want to wake her up? No. Do I think he left her in the car because he wanted to go play video games and he didn't want to deal with her and take care of her? Yes. So in my opinion, that is malicious intent. You knew how hot it was. You're a grown ass man. OK, you're not a child. You're a grown ass man. You knew how hot it was. You knew that she was in the car. You knew it shut off after a half an hour. I think that's where it comes in. You knew the car turns off and the AC shuts off after 30 minutes. You knew that. So throw the book at him, honestly. Electric chair. I don't care. Like your 2-year-old daughter is dead. Your wife is never going to get over this. You need to be able to trust your partner, the person you decide to have children with. You need to be able to trust them with your children. And apparently she couldn't, because this has happened before. So he's a loser. He's selfish. He's a lazy asshole. And do I think he was like, I hope my daughter dies today? No. But do I think that he put the needs and the care of his children over the needs of himself to play PS5? No, I don't. So honestly, I don't care. Throw the book at him. Give him the electric chair.
I'm not surprised by that. Here's what I'll take. If we find out at court that he left her in the car because she wasn't behaving as a form of punishment, because she was crying too much or whatever, it's different. And the charges would be different. But if we come to the conclusion that he genuinely thought she was already inside, he thought he had taken her in. I don't know how you come to that, but that's what he's arguing.
How do you not know that a 2-year-old's not in your house? They never stop making noises.
He's saying, and according to police, they're saying that when the wife came home, she said, "Where's our daughter?" And he started looking around the house for her.
Yeah, because he's trying to recover his ass is why he's looking pretending to look around the house for her. Like, oh, I could have sworn, like, she's not a bag of groceries, you dumbass. I could have sworn I brought the groceries in, but the ice cream's melting in the trunk now. No, this is a child. This is a human being. This is your child, your flesh and blood. Okay, you left her in the car because you wanted to play video games with your buddies without hearing her crying in the background.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I think there's definitely negligence and child abuse at minimum. I'll be interested to see how this one plays out because it will set the tone for some other cases. This is the first time this has happened in Arizona, which if you remember from the first video, and you have some other statistics too, the whole reason we're covering this today is not just because of this case specifically. In the original video we showed you, it said that this was the 10th child death related to being left in a car just this year. But you had some information, some statistics that said the number was even higher, correct?
Yeah, so I have an ABC News statistic that says that it was higher, and I'm trying to find. It says at least 24 children ranging from a 10-month-old in Louisiana to an 8-year-old in North Carolina have died this year across the nation after being left in vehicles during hot weather, according to the nonprofit child advocacy organization Kids and Car Safety. It happens almost every day. Like, literally, I typed it in, and I had a news report from 5 hours ago where another person left their child in the car. Just around the third week of August, two people in Texas, just from what I could find from a quick Google search, left their children in the car. Well, one was a grandmother, one was a mother. The mother left her child, her 3-month-old baby, in the car while she attended the county fair in Merrick County. So basically, and this was August 24th, it's Nebraska, actually, here. It's Nebraska. It's super hot. She left her child, her 3-month-old baby, in the car, and she went in to go to the county fair. And then we have another mother in Texas. A Texas mother was taken into custody Tuesday after police alleged her 22-month-old child died when she was left in an infant car seat outside a Corpus Christi school on one of the hottest days of the year. We have another one, a grandmother, who left her grandbaby in the car. It was a 9-month-old from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in August of 2024. This happens so regularly, and the actual statistics, it says since 1998, about 969 children have died in hot cars, and more than half of them were allegedly left behind unknowingly by their caregivers. Now, when do we get to a point where we keep letting these parents off, and we keep saying, like, oh, you're forgetful, oh, before parents who maybe don't want their children anymore, which, I mean, we know that's common. We don't like to think about it. But yeah, there's parents that kill their children every freaking day. So now they're thinking, oh, you know what? I don't have to poison my child. I don't have to shake them. There's too much evidence that I had a hand in this. I'll just leave them in a hot car because all these other parents get off because it's just an accident. You just forgot. So when are we going to have people abusing the system? Do I doubt that some of these are accidental, that they're just forgetful? I don't know. I can't tell you. I can tell you I'd never forget my child in a car, in a hot car. I even asked you, I said, have you ever in your life forgotten either of your daughters in the car and then gone in somewhere? Never. Would never
my
happen.
My truck actually now has a thing where if there's weight on the back seat, it tells you like, hey, make sure you check your back seat. No, we've talked about a lot here, and we talked about Christopher Schultz. We talked about these other cases. My takeaway, and every state is different. You have to do what you feel comfortable with, but my professional opinion, if you roll up on a car and there's an animal or a young child or infant
break in the window
that appears to be in some distress, I'd rather be safe than sorry. There are certain states, I believe Arizona is one of them, where you're required to call 911 first to ensure that there's no reason that this is the case. Like, they don't already have a report of why this is happening. For me personally, I'm not recommending this to you guys, but for me personally, I'm breaking the window and explaining it later. And so it's one of those things that most police officers, can't say all, I can't speak for every cop with a badge. Most police officers are not putting cuffs on you for if you're able to articulate why you did it. Hey, listen, walked up to the car, the dog was slouched over with his tongue hanging out, or the baby wasn't moving. They're going to understand, and they're going to say, you know what? I would have done the same thing. You're going to go on your way. That's what I would do, and I think most officers would, but you have to be comfortable with what you do.
And you can call the police, right? It'll only take a couple of minutes to call the police, but if they're like, oh, we'll send someone there or blah, 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 like, I'm not waiting at that point because I've called the police before, and I have no idea how long it's going to take you to get here.
It depends on the circumstances. For me, if I'm walking through a Target and I see this, I'm yelling to someone else, hey, you call the police because I'm already breaking the window. So, and those windows aren't easy to break. So it takes a couple minutes.
No, but remember that thing you had in your keep safe kit?
Keep you safe kit. Yeah, the punch thing. Yeah, you can
get
through
it. And then
there
was that bracelet with the little like bead on it that could break a window. So things like that are handy to have to carry around.
Yeah, you know what that is?
What?
So a little, I don't even know if I should say this. Well, it's not. I'll say it. It is what it is. So if you have a piece of spark plug, which I know a lot of you don't, but if you the little porcelain part of a spark plug, a lot of criminals would take that, and what they do is they'll hit the window with it and instantly smashes it. The same thing with the bead. If you take the bead off the bracelet that I had from the Keep You Safe kit and you like slingshot it, it instantly breaks the window and you don't injure your hand. But that's a different story for a different day. And now everyone's going to be like, well, where's the Keep You Safe kits? I get those emails.
I know. Well, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, all the time. We'll have to bring it back at some point. So overall, if you see it and you feel you got to intervene, intervene. But let's start at the foundation. Don't leave your kids or animals in the car unattended at any point, even if it's a cold day. Just don't do it. Because if you don't do that, then we don't have to worry about breaking your window. Is that a fair point to leave it on?
Especially not in a running car. Because now you have other threats to your child besides the fact that they could die
Your car. Exactly.
Yeah. Completely somebody agree. Steals your car. They don't even know your kid's in it. You think they're going to bring your kid back and be like, sorry, I took your car. Your baby happened to be in the backseat. Honest mistake. No, they're going to dump your baby or worse. And then they're going to keep stealing your car. So don't be stupid, man.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. That's how we're going to wrap this one up. Don't be stupid.
Yeah, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. So I hope this guy really gets the book thrown at him, and it does serve as a warning to other people that might, you know, think twice the next time they get out of their car. Yeah. And they're just kind of like, I have ADHD. Nobody forgets things more than me. All right, but not my kids in the car. Nope.
I want to hear what you guys think. Way down in the comments below on YouTube. I apologize to our audio listeners. There's points in this episode where it might be difficult because there's a visual element to it. But if you're on YouTube, leave a comment down below, even if it's just guilty or not guilty of second degree murder, not of being a moron, second degree murder, right? And as Stephanie just said, it doesn't require premeditation, but it does require intent, the intent to kill. So let us know in the comments below, do you think Christopher's guilty? And if there's anything else you want to share, you can share that as well. As always, we appreciate you guys being here. We'll be back later this week, Friday on audio with the Gainesville Ripper Part 4 episode and Sunday for YouTube. So we'll see you then. Everyone stay safe out there. Have a good day.
Bye.